Hey team, hold me accountable for any pain point that you have. And then I would take that as an action. So pretty much having my team hold me accountable kind of gave a different twist to this whole process of leadership. Then when I did that, the whole mindset of change and continuous improvement automatically came to them. Meaning, hey, I am the owners. I am the leader of my bay, my station. I am empowered to make changes. And when I did those changes with them, there was a sense of accomplishment. It felt like we are learning every day and you just improved from one state to the next state.
What is going on, L&M family? I am here with a super spectacular guest, Miss Nehana, who I got to meet like in person. And I'm just going to tell you, like, getting to hang out with her in person, in real life, and then having the opportunity to be interviewed by her and then followed up with me interviewing her is the ultimate. You should be jealous. She is a thought leader in the modular construction space, leading and making waves to make our industry better. How you doing, Ms. Tom?
I am doing awesome. Awesome, especially because I'm here recording this episode with you literally before backstage. You and I were discussing how I love your videos or how cool they are. So I feel already a little bit celebritish to be part of this episode. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. We meet people online and on LinkedIn and stuff, and you never really know how warm and spectacular they are. And when you and I got to hang out and talk about ideas and different things, that warmth came through, which I think maybe it's just my assumption, but I think that when people think about folks that are in process improvement, they don't attach a warm human being to the Six Sigma improvement maniacal brainwaves. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely right. Just backing up, my journey with Six Sigma Lean started in manufacturing. I come from manufacturing. I am an end-to-end supply chain leader. And so folks out there listening in, supply chain is not just logistics. Supply chain is not just about purchasing. There's a lot more to it. Ever since your product is in, you know, at the stage of inception to finally delivering it to your customer, everything involves supply chain. And so that's what I've done for the most part of my career. But while I was doing that, Lean and Six Sigma was just coming automatically because, come on, like if you have been in this world of manufacturing, you know it's hard out there. Not a single day is boring. You have challenges every day, and every day you come across a new challenge. I'm like, oh my God, like, why didn't I encounter this before? And so there's always this whole cycle of continuous improvement that you are into. You just are in the mode. And so because I've been doing that for so long, it's just, you know, second nature now. Sometimes it gets to my life, my personal life also. I think Jesse, you and I also connected on that. But then when I entered like construction, so I started with prefab manufacturing and then into modular construction and then also like stick built construction, like on the side together. And that was when I realized that it's different. Being on the shop floor, wearing the hard hat, walking the floor with folks, I did get some pushback. Like, hey, we don't get lean. That's a manufacturing thing. Don't bring it to us. And so sometimes the term itself can be a little littering for folks. And so I stopped also like for some time, like, okay, let's try and improve things. Let's try and change stuff around, which people are more assertive to in construction. That's what I felt, especially the folks on the floor. Also, as you were like coming back to your point, yeah, not every time you are taken very, like, I think we are taken seriously, especially with the leadership who are looking for a change, a culture change. But then the doers in the process probably are like, okay, especially if you're a consultant, right? If you came out, if you're an outsider, you're an outsider. What do you know about my pain points? And so being able to make sure that they understand we are part of the process has been, I would say, the biggest challenge that I have just continued overcoming, tried my ways out, see how do I adapt and, you know, make sure that I am one of them. I have been doing this for some time and I've been on the receiving end and I have lived their pain points as much as they are right now.
So a few things come to mind. empathy for the worker. You said the word culture. So I want to come back to those two things. But I'm really curious, like, what was it about process improvement or this type of work when you got into manufacturing? What was it that drew you to choose that work?
Yeah, so, you know, I would say people. So I started managing teams early. And so I would say that, you know, I made my own share of mistakes, right? While I was trying to lead folks who were older than me. Ah. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to gain trust, to earn trust. It wasn't easy to get your point across, right? And so trust me, I'm glad and I feel I'm blessed to have been in those roles and led people who were like way more, decades more experienced than me at the age when I started. But I did my own share of mistakes in managing in my leadership style. But one thing that as like, you know, I did my Six Sigma training. I've gotten Six Sigma certified twice, actually, in my career. And so while I was doing and then lean and, you know, going to school for that and stuff like that, what I saw was when I was a leader, when I told my team that, hey, team, hold me accountable for any pain point that you have. So, you know, I'll use the G word, Gemba. I'll do my Gemba Fox and we'll do a short, quick stand up. Say I'm going to station whatever one. And I was like, hey, so you have a problem with framing? There's something going on wrong. And so what's that? Right. So they were like, okay, can you help me with this particular side? Or, you know, the dimensions are not coming out right or things like that. And then I would take that as an action. So pretty much having my team hold me accountable kind of gave a different twist to this whole process of leadership. Then when I did that, the whole mindset of change and continuous improvement automatically came to them. Meaning, hey, I am the owners. I am the leader of my bay, my station. I am empowered to make changes. And when I did those changes with them, there was a sense of accomplishment. It felt like we are learning every day and you just improved from one state to the next state. And it doesn't end. You're never perfect. It's a journey and it keep going. And I think that's what kept me going. That's what kept my team going was just because we were learning. And there was a constant cycle of ideation and somewhere it became fun.
So you said leadership style and how it evolved through mistakes. We all make mistakes. I know when I got introduced to this continuous improvement stuff, I was doing it to people, not with them, and definitely not for them. It was just for my metrics so that I could get production rates and get my bonus and all that. And I think the people feel that. But it sounds like you naturally were drawn to serving the people. How accurate is that?
Yeah. So when I started, I'll be super, super transparent here. There was some kind of ego, right? Like, okay, involved. I'm here, I'm the boss, I have people, I know a lot, there's a reason why I'm here, right? And it really had a rocky start when you work with people. And it's not just about people, you have people with diverse backgrounds. Right? I come from a diverse background. I'm a brown woman, I'm an immigrant here, right? And I was dealing with other people who come from very different backgrounds. So it was so important for myself to ground myself, to understand people first. Before just, you know, thinking about them as just machines doing work day in, day out, if you don't add that flavor, because, you know, people say that, okay, keep your personal professional life separate. I really don't believe in it. I really think that both of those lives are attached. You are motivated by each, by happenings, meaning events happening in both sides of those worlds. So let's be honest, if I'm not motivated in my personal life, it affects my professional life. So just, you know, getting to know people, their backgrounds, what motivates them and really understanding what's in it for them changed my leadership style a little bit. And then you are part of them. You're on their side. How do we keep winning while we are while we are playing this sport? That's how I went about this.
Oh, so much wisdom there. So for the young L&M family member that's like first time leadership position, they've got people to report. What are a couple of things that you would recommend they focus on so they don't learn the hard way the way we did?
Yeah. So as I said, when I got the role and it was like about 40 people, Jesse, that's a big team. That's a big team to handle. And I was proud. I was proud. And I think you should be like taking a moment to stop and, celebrate your win. But one thing that I think you already used the word that I always say, have lots of empathy for the people that you're working with. Hierarchy is one thing. You have been put in a role for a reason, probably because of the experience, probably because of your style, probably because of the connection you can make with people, right? Value it and use it. And people are different, just like you. And try and invest time in your people first before setting up your KPIs. Let's be honest. Learn their names of the family. It matters. It really matters. Trust me. Once that happens, once you make that connect with a team as large as that, they know you value them. Trust me, they will be your biggest cheerleaders. They will be your biggest change ambassadors as soon as you have cross that path. That's the biggest learning or advice I would share, that take time, stop, learn about them. They care about them, their families. Just you don't have to sit and, solve problems there. You just have to learn about them and show that you care and genuinely care. Don't show off, like care about people.
Oh my goodness. So you just answered my other question as it relates to culture and trust. Like, how do you build trust? I think the fastest way is to demonstrate interest and appreciation for the human beings that are in front of us. Simple. And you also said, like, we're whole people, like home and work aren't separate. And just to kind of hammer that point home, I know you're a mom. I bet you're an amazing mom. Do you ever stop being a mom?
Never.
Is it even possible?
No, absolutely.
So it's like if we just be all of us as often as we can, we'll have different outcomes, more meaningful experiences for sure, and richer outcomes, I believe, like sustainable in terms of what you described to me when you're doing this improvement with people for them. They have a vested interest and an understanding that, oh, we're winning together. Those are the words you said. What do you think it is that keeps many leaders from having that breakthrough or gaining that understanding?
I think it's the day-to-day churn, right? The industry that we are in today, it's fast-paced. You are constantly chasing numbers, figures, answering to your leadership. I think the churn actually makes us stop being us, and that just takes the human connection out of it. You talk about it a lot, right? The bungee jumping is all about, people's connections and how do we connect with each other. So I think the churn, the back-to-back chasing numbers and metrics and, all of that, great. You are running a business. We are in it for that, of course. But I was listening it to somewhere, like the whole CEO playbook has been wrong all this while. There is an anti-CEO playbook that we need to talk about, which is you are winning when your people are winning. Which is when your people are with you are winning. Right now, our CEOs are taught to be taking care of the shareholders, taking care of Wall Street, taking care of all of the, great, you have to. You're running a business, they are investors, but we need to know that our employees, our people are partners. We are equal partners. When we start thinking about them and we know that, a lot of times also, Jesse, I talk about because I've been supply chain, many times we don't treat our suppliers very equally too. Our subs, very respectfully too. And it's that, trust me, your customer delight process is gonna be made or broken by your suppliers. They are your partners. They are not inferior to you. I have seen that kind of behavior being represented, which is not acceptable, which has to change. Same thing for your employees. If the doors of your, like you can be aiming for all these fancy millions, billions of numbers. If your doers are not on board, if they don't get what your path is, if they don't feel included, you are not winning. You're absolutely not winning, no matter how many great customer sales contracts you sign. If your people do not understand it, you're not going to get anywhere and eventually you'll fail. So I think the churn, as I was saying, like the whole CEO playbook, the whole culture has to change. It has to start with your people. Once they are on board, trust me, they'll make you win. It's a teamwork. It's a soccer. I mean, sorry, I'm into soccer because of my son. It's the same sport, right? You can be an amazing goal scorer. It doesn't matter if you're not passing.
Yes, you got to pass the ball. I love this idea of the anti-CEO playbook.
Yeah, I really have to remember his name, who actually gave a TED talk on this, but probably will quote it after on the episode. But I'm really bought into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So clearly you and I are aligned in our thinking of how to treat people, appreciate people, and even maybe operate or run a business. And you say you've come from manufacturing and you went in, now you're in modular construction and supply chain management. Was it like people said, man, she's really got it going on. We want her so bad. And so you made the transition and everybody just embraced you?
Well, no. No story is that hunky-dory. No, absolutely not. I came from manufacturing and I fell into prefabrication manufacturing. That's how I describe it. And it was not as smooth as you would think. As I said, like, you know, first of all, I'm a woman. Then I am a brown woman. Then I'm trying to be on the shop floor, trying to change things for people. Nah. It's not going to be easy. None of this is easy, right? Construction is also a very male-dominated industry, right? It's different. It's different. So I have had my own share of biases that I faced through my career, my own share of challenges of putting my point across and trying to be taken seriously. That's been a big, big challenge. But trust me, we are getting somewhere. We are getting the seats we have been asking or we deserve. So that's a good thing. But we still have a long way to go. My mantra for change management or, you know, making sure that first of all, I think the biggest quality that I have about myself is I persevere a lot. I've never achieved an overnight success ever in anything that I have tried for. But I've persevered. I cannot just let go of a problem. That's just me. Small or big, personal, professional, I cannot let go of a problem. I need to really complete it. I just have this OCD or something or whatever, you know. I need to close it before I move on. So I believe that kind of never, like no matter what hardships I was going through, just like never stopped. I never stopped. I never gave up on the people I was working with. I never gave up on myself. I kept going, kept trying different things because you also need to understand what's not working and when to stop and pivot. That's what I kept doing. And that's very valid, like for my professional journey where, okay, if this was not working and I wasn't able to make the change happen, how did I go about it? I started probably creating some, you know, I started an ambassador program where I picked people who actually believed in me and they kind of helped me propagate the change I wanted to go after. So there were different things that worked for different industries. Every company is different. The culture is different. But the good part was it wasn't very hard to get the leadership aligned. The harder part was actually getting your doers on board and make sure that they understood what I was trying to implement.
Oh, my goodness. So you said the word perseverance, and that was the one that was coming. Like, again, we got to meet a person like, oh, man, she knows. So I'm wondering, where do you think that perseverance comes from?
You know, probably life experiences, I guess. I've seen my probably mom persevere a lot. You know, I was born and raised in India. You know, we have always, and then I moved out of home pretty early to complete my bachelor's in engineering. And that was a different world altogether. And then I moved across continents and came here to complete my master's. And so I just feel, and so none of that is easy. Like I really have to give a shout out to every person who left their home base and have moved and shifted. It's not easy to build a new life altogether, to build new connections. So we do take it, you know, lightly, but it's a big thing. Like kudos to whoever does it. I'm not saying that who doesn't do it doesn't persevere, but it shows a testament of, you know, really you could move bases altogether and live in adverse environments or probably totally different sets of people and build a life. And I just, these life experiences probably made me the way I am, how I grew up and, you know, the culture I've lived with.
Yeah. So you're like the transcendent superpower, right? You transcend careers, like breaking through those things, different. And I know, and I think, actually, I want to say this for the L&M family members that are thinking like, yeah, but I'm not a continuous improvement person. It's not about that. Leading change, making things better. You don't have to be a Six Sigma to do that. I think most of us really want to leave this world better than we found it. So that experience is a shared experience.
Yep.
And on that note, you have overcome and are probably still facing a lot of friction, a lot of lonely points, a lot of situations where you think it's just you, something's wrong with you. How do you cope with that? What do you recommend to somebody that's embarking or in the middle of a difficult project, a little project? Yep. What do you recommend they do to cope and deal with the friction and the loss of confidence and all that other funky stuff?
Absolutely. I still go through that. I'm not an expert in any of this. I'm still learning. And I have to give it to people like you, Jesse, for building communities, for building safe communities. I have always relied on community around me. I mean, of course, my family. Yes, I talk to my family. I get a lot of energy, positive energy through them, right? Of course, that's always with you, always depending on where you are. Your parents, your spouse, your friends, distant relatives can always be a source of strength for you. But sometimes this is just me as a personal, like this is my personality. Like if I come to you, and I'm able to, like, it's just that you and I can connect more because we come from same backgrounds. We come from same industries. So you being a sounding board means a lot to me at that point versus, say, my spouse being a sounding board at that point, right? Because we come from different industries. So, like, you know, it just validates it more. Not saying that we need validation, but sometimes at those points, you want to talk to people who just feel like, you know, gets the industry, not just you, but also gets the industry, the pain points. And I found my tribe, I found my community, and it's online. I've not met everyone, but some of them are so good that they're happy to just lend you 15 minutes of their time. I just feel that time is the best gift you can give to any person in your life.
Oh my goodness.
It's not. That's the best, the most expensive gift you can give to anyone. And so everyone who has given me time in my life, I appreciate them a lot from the bottom of my heart, because you could have done something else for your own good at that point, but you chose to give me that time. So I really, whoever is listening to you, to this along with you, I really sincerely appreciate you. And I will always have that gift back to you to return when you need me. So I would say find your tribe, and especially a tribe that comes from the same background. It has worked for me, especially at those points where I was feeling lonely, where I could just ping someone and not even call. Some of them, just ping. And sometimes you would not know, Jesse, but some of the posts that you could probably put out can change someone's life. So
I agree.
Do not go after the likes and the shares. Even if one person found value in a post that you made, you could actually be acting as a sounding board to someone. It has happened to me very early on. It still happens. Like some post someday just hits you so hard and you're like, yeah, I am going through the same thing.
Yes, we are not alone. And it's easy to think that we are, but we are not alone. And what's coming through is, like, build your community, find people that have shared experiences and talk about them. Like, it's not complicated.
Talk a lot. Talking helps so much.
Yes. Okay. So we already know that you're an expert in continuous improvement, manufacturing, modular construction. And people may not know that you host a podcast also. Could you tell us about, so people know and they can go listen to that after they listen to this conversation. Tell us about that podcast.
Absolutely. So I was doing what I was doing. I do a little bit of digital transformations also. And I came across Audrey, who runs Offside Dirt. And she's an amazing human being, amazing woman leader that I've come across. And I do confide in her a lot. I've shared my life experiences with her. And Audrey, I love you. You know that. So she was kind enough to say that, why don't you write something for us and also host? So Jesse, if you may remember, I wrote my first Lean article on Offside Dirt and you got tagged, and that's how we met. That's how I connected. I wrote you a message, and folks, despite the connection that he had, he immediately responded to me on LinkedIn. So thank you for that. And that's where my journey started, where, you know, I wrote for them and then I recorded my first episode with a very dear friend, Erin Khan. That was my first episode with her. She's also a women leader in construction. She runs her own consulting now. She had led very senior roles in very soon in her construction career. So I have learned so much from her as well. But that's where the journey started. And I host one episode every month. We talk about your experience, what you have learned in construction. I try to make sure that I get some takeaways from you for my audiences that they can take back in their personal life and use it. The latest one that got released today is with Jesse, the master Jesse, this master of lean. And we spoke about 5S. The fundamental principle that you can think about lean, but has so many benefits. But yeah, it's about leanifying construction with Sneha Kumari. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on LinkedIn, definitely. My videos are hosted on YouTube and marketed on Insta, YouTube, and LinkedIn.
Amazing. I mean, I had a ton of fun. I can't wait to listen because I know I go crazy and go all over the place.
Please do. Your videos are the best. I have to say that. Your videos are the best, the most professional videos I've seen by far. But we have tried.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And I also know that you're working on a product to help another segment of the industry. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I said, like digital transformation has been part of the journey too. Like, you know, us in construction, we have a lot of software fatigue. We use a lot of softwares. Yes. We probably use 18 different softwares. None of them talk to each other. We don't have time to learn about these softwares. And so I have been on the other end, right, where we are buying something new. We need our employees to use it. Nobody uses it. The ROI is in the drain. Who cares? We are still paying tens of thousands of dollars. So while I was doing that, one thing, Jesse, that came to mind that I always had a vision for was, you know, when we got a phone, mobile phones, none of the mobile phone companies actually took effort to train us on how to use a phone. And especially when we moved from the Nokias of the world to Apple, nobody trained us how to use a touchscreen. There was, I wouldn't say it was smooth, but it grew on us pretty quickly, right? We started, we learned it, so I just feel like we are missing the Apple-like experience, user experience in our industry. What we are not doing today is enabling our folks to do more. What is happening today is instead of using a technology that can, I'll use the word technology, it could be anything. It could be robotics. It could be AR, VR, a piece of software, ERP, anything. Instead of that being an enabler, it has become a burden. Burden to learn it, burden to adoption, a burden to understand it, right? It's so complex. And many times we are probably trying to pick up something and trying to retrofit in our world. Not every software was meant for construction, but they are trying to get in because you don't have a lot of options. Service sucks big time. Sorry, but that's the truth. Big time. You're charged hourly. None of the reports are customized for you. You pay for setup charges and you still pay for hourly consulting charges to your technology companies after you've implemented it. So, well, long-winded story. This was a pain. I didn't like it and I wanted to do something in that space. So exactly why I built something specially for construction and more so especially for modular construction, wherein you, my brother, who is a tech leader, folks out there listening to this, I have nothing to do with coding. I'm not a developer. I don't understand a word of it. I am a Lean Six Sigma leader that connects with your pain points. But he has built something that really makes sense using my inputs because I come from the industry, which is going to be simple, easy to use, quick to install with tons of customer aha moments for you and lots of great service that's for free, no charge. So that's important. I think when you're already paying for a subscription, you deserve to be getting the best out of it until you are ramped up. And if you're not, then you should be getting that experience until you feel comfortable about a piece of software. You shouldn't be paying for that. That's because I come from that side of the world. I'm still on that side of the world. I'm still trying to do
Yeah.
these implementations. So yeah, so that's where I am.
Oh my goodness. It's huge. You touched on a few things that I've never really been able to wrap my head around. But basically, I can't think of very many softwares that I've used in my career that didn't require training. That's not to say that we got it. And then it's like, you just pointed it out. Like, I didn't need no training to learn how to use my phone. I didn't need no training to figure out how to pick a movie on Netflix. Super intuitive, super easy. It solves whatever minor problem I might have.
Yeah. And why should we lack that experience in construction? Why not? Like, we are a
Exactly.
trillion-dollar industry. We move the world. So,
Oh my God.
service providers out there need to wake up and do something about it. Also, because we haven't complained enough, like, poor us. Like, we've just gone because we have better things to worry about. Like, dude, like, the trust is not connecting. Okay, that's the bigger problem than thinking why your freaking report is not right. Whatever. So
Yes.
I think why? Like, we should have that experience. We deserve it.
Oh my goodness. So I'm curious. You're heavily focused on the customer experience of this thing that you and your brother are building. Your brother's doing the coding and all that, the coding magic stuff.
Magic. Yes.
Do y'all just agree on everything? What are those conversations like?
No, because the war starts. I'm sorry, not a war, but a debate starts mostly when I am speaking my mind. Okay, this is not how I like it. I am running on the floor and I'm trying to do a cycle count operation. I don't like it. This is not how I'm gonna do it. Like, enable me to do more. And all of these came because I was walking the floor doing these things at some point in time. So, yeah, I mean, it no, we don't. But I think one thing that we are always aligned on is the fact that our obsession with our customers is intact. Yeah.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
something that we both will not negotiate on. And so, yeah, for the most part, he has to give in to my ideas.
For the most part,
Yes.
we all wins.
Yes.
I love it. So do you all have a name, a release date? Because I'm sure people are gonna say, what is this thing? What is
Yes,
it?
absolutely. It's Merlin AI. You can go check us out on our website. Still working. The website isn't cool yet, but we're still working. It's in the works. And connect with us. Connect with both of us. If you want to learn more, would be more than happy to not even show to you, but also get your feedback. It doesn't always have to be business. It doesn't always have to be about money. It's also about building something great. That's how I see it. Build something great. Build something meaningful. Big to make a change. Big enough for people
Oh,
to remember you.
yes, I'm excited. And you already know I'm going to support you. You just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it because you're awesome.
You are awesome. You're awesome. You are. I have told this on many platforms to many people. Yeah. You
Oh,
and the
thank
folks you
you.
connected me to are just great. Pure.
We got some amazing people out there and looking to connect with more because it's going to take a lot of people, a lot of hearts to make things better, like, no doubt. So you've accomplished a ton. You've transitioned from one country to another, different industries, leading change, which I know how difficult that is. You're in the tech, creating an app to serve people to a greater degree. You're a mother. Is there anything you don't do? How do you manage all of it?
I'm really not good at managing everything. One thing, Jesse, I do feel like my mom guilt doesn't go away. That guilt has stayed with me. And I just feel that every mom out there has that guilt in them too, especially working moms. But I then also, when my kids see me, they run towards me. And I think my morning snuggles are the ones that keep me going. I just have a feeling that I'm trying to balance a lot of stuff. I'm not able to balance everything perfectly, right? I want everything to be perfect. I mean, that's just, me. But I'm trying. I also don't want to give up on my passion. And I know that my kids growing up, seeing me the way I am, will respect that about me and also respect that about other women they come across in their life.
Amazing. The morning snuggle, that just sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you do to rest? How do you take care of yourself? I think this is important. I know we have a lot of high achieving, high operating people out there. What tips, tricks do you use?
I believe that to each their own. Everyone has a different way to rejuvenate and relax. For me, small things matter. So as I said, like, you know, just spending 30 minutes with my kids, say out in the park, just not thinking about work, just refreshes me. It just feels like a complete day. Being able to take time to work out, which I haven't been able to lately, feels great. Feels like I had a complete day that I wanted to do. Being in nature helps me a lot. So like just time once a quarter, once a month sometimes, just taking a quick road trip. You know, I live across California. There's some very cool nature-y things out there. We just take a short trip, you know, shut down stuff. Sometimes I don't even shut down. I'll just probably take phone calls, but I'll be on a trip and it's just great. It just does wonders to me. Self-care is important. Finding your tribe, finding time to talk to people is important. So through these things, I'll just probably network, talk to different people, find new connections. And that helps me. I have to do more about my self-care. And probably the stage, like my kids are 3 and 5. It's a difficult stage. They are dependent on me.
Yeah.
My product is dependent on me. My job is dependent on me. So there's a lot. So I know it's going to get only easier at some point because the more experience I get. But I try to appreciate what I have. It's hard to say live in the moment. I procrastinate, you know, I keep thinking about the future too. But I also try, like, you know, just that consciousness is there where I said, okay, like, you know, now I'm with my kids. So I just have to be with them. Now I'm with my spouse. So I have to be with him and then just enjoy the world around me.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Be present, change your environment, engage with nature, engage with your community, spend time with your family. Like, it's not like some magic impossible list. We can do these things. And I applaud you for doing it. And also want to, again, I bragged at the beginning about getting to meet you in person and being in the moment, like you were fully present. Like I felt like I was the only thing in the universe. And it's because you were completely present. And I appreciate you so much for doing it. So closing question. What is the promise you are intended to be?
Nothing super different comes to me. I just, as I said, like I want to be able to leave an impact in people's lives, especially the people around me in some way. They know me, they don't know me. I want people to know me as I'm for a positive change that I made in their life. That could be through work, that could be through a personal help. I think that's a goal. I'm not trying to chase money. I'm not saying I'm not. Like everyone needs money to survive, you know, live a decent life. That's going to cause you churn. Yes, that is a goal. But I think for the most part, to get the bigger side of things, I really want to build something that made a positive impact for people around me. If I could do that, I think that will be, that will define success for me. That's where I want to go. I would say that's what I'm trying to intend as of now, for sure.
Oh, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that you haven't already been impacting people and that you will continue to do so in meaningful ways. Any shout outs you want to give?
Shout outs to everyone I'm connected to. Shout out to you. Shout out to Lance. Shout out to Lean. Shout out to Audrey. Shout out to all my construction tribe. Shout out to my manufacturing folks tribe out there. I'm not going to take names because I'm sure I'm going to forget them because this is a timed podcast, but everyone who I'm connected to on LinkedIn, on phone, that I have stopped and taken the time to respond to you, trust me, I care. And if I have not responded to you, believe me, I was probably stuck somewhere. I'm very good at it. Sorry, I take pride in it, but I'm trying to juggle a lot, but if I'm not responding now, I will. But shout out to all of you for being amazing humans. Shout out to people who are not so nice also on my journey for making me learn something from them. Those were life experiences. And I'm sure you learned something dealing with me when you were. So yeah, I mean, I appreciate people a lot. Every single person who came in my life, who was a part and will be in future.